Well, let's stand to our feet this morning and let's read the Word of God. Thank you for being here today. And we are, the Lord willing, I think this will be the last installment of our series, Pushing Back the Darkness. So Lord willing, we'll see what happens. But this is in Acts chapter 1, and I know what a lot of you think. Uh-oh, he's in Acts. Would you look at your neighbor and say, we in a Pentecostal church? Come on now. Some of you went, come on. Hey, let's look at what the Word of God says. Luke is writing here. He's the author of Acts and the Acts of the Apostles. And so in Acts 1 and 3, he's writing and he said, he presented himself, Jesus, presented himself alive to them after the suffering by many proofs appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. How many know if the Father promised it, I want it? Which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you, see there, they keep pointing back, Jesus, do something else. Come on now, that's the conversation. Jesus, do something else. Do another miracle, God, do another miracle. Come again. Die again. Isn't that foolish of us? This is what Jesus said. They're like, are you going to restore the kingdom now, Jesus? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father is fixed by his own authority, but you, everybody say me.
Me.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding today. Father, let your word just pierce every heart today. Let us receive the fullness of everything you have for us in this service today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated today. How many would say, I want more? And if you couldn't say yes to that, I want to know why. I want more. I want everything that the Father has for me. I want to walk in that. Now listen, we've been preaching this series of Pushing Back the Darkness. And we've kind of built that that thought process around this, that we do not have to accept the way things are. That the world is very dark and it's getting darker and darker. And we as the church, now hear me when I say this. I know I say this a lot, but we as the church are the problem. Hey, come on now. How many have you heard whine and cry about the condition of their marriage and you looking at them going, you the problem? Come on now. Or how many parents have I heard whine and cry about the condition of their children? And I'm going, you are the problem, honey. Come on now. I know that hurt y'all. But you gotta say amen, because it's true. Amen. Truth. And the truth of the matter is the condition of the world is dark. But the church, now wait a minute, this building ain't the problem. This building ain't the church. We are the church. We are the problem. We are supposed to be the salt. We are supposed to be the light. And if the world around me is dark, it is because I'm not doing my job. Come on, man. And we don't have to accept the condition of our home, the condition of our relationship, the condition of our neighborhood and of our city. We don't have to just sit back, fold our arms, and say, this is just what it is. It's just culture. It just is what it is. No. It is a result of the church doing nothing. And we've been talking about the tripod that this message or this series has rested on. The tripod of one, us understanding who we are in Christ Jesus, that a squatter or a servant will not fight for what we do not believe is ours. But if we will wake up to the understanding that we are sons and daughters in the kingdom, we will stand up and fight for what God has promised us, for our inheritance, right? And then two, we need an understanding of that there are territorial jurisdictions, territorial dominions that are set up, because we need to have an understanding of the enemy that we are fighting, that there are principalities, powers, might, and dominion that are being set up. And if they go unopposed, how many know we're in a political season here, an election season here, and if somebody runs and they run unopposed, who gonna get the job? Oh, come on now. That was a no-brainer. And too often, our adversary and our enemy is running unopposed. And then the third leg that we're discussing today is that we must operate in the fullness of the power that the Father has invested in us. We must understand position, we must understand opponent, and we must operate in power. Amen? He said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You know, the truth of the matter is that the church world, we have become so educated. Come on. Refined. Dignified. That we are endeavoring to walk this life and walk this walk out and fight this fight without the fullness of the Spirit of God. You shall receive power after that the Spirit has come upon you. Matter of fact, John said, when they came to him and said, hey, are you the one? He was like, no, wait. He said, there's one, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me, and he's gonna baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now listen, we talked a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the difference, and I gave the illustration, I think I'm gonna be called the pickle pastor. I gave an illustration about a jar of pickles, and it didn't start as a pickle. It started as a cucumber, but there was an illustration that was given. Babto, the word babto is a dipping or a washing, a temporary cleaning, right? But then there's a different, the baptizo is a permanent immersion where the cucumber is transformed into a pickle. He said that we shall be a new creature, that all things are gone, are passed away, and all things are becoming new, that we are born again, something different. We can't be saved without the workings of the person of the Holy Spirit. Want to be very, very clear about that. And he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And listen, I love this. Man, today, earlier in worship, I'm just worshiping, minding my own business, just talking to Jesus. And all of a sudden, I mean, it just slapped me in the face. I want you guys to get this. The scripture tells us about a guy named Peter. Y'all heard of that guy, right? About a guy named Peter. And Peter was this, Peter was just this big mouth, you know, long tongue. His emotions were a roller coaster. Y'all don't know anybody like that, right? Up one time, they not up one day and down the next day. They up 1 minute and down the next minute. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't elbow somebody next to you. All right, and so Peter, this guy, you know, he's a fisherman, he's got a big mouth, he's got a big attitude, he got a long tongue, and so Peter, this guy, literally, he's like, oh, Jesus. Jesus said, somebody here gonna deny me, and, oh, no, Jesus, not me, I'm Peter. Come on now. I'm your biggest fan, Jesus. Yeah, come on, right? And I'll die for you, Jesus. And so it's just a few hours later, here they've arrested Jesus. They take Jesus into custody, and all of a sudden somebody said, hey, you were with, oh no, not me. Not, you know, just a little pressure. He was just a little annoyed. Came back around. No, you, I saw you were with them, wasn't you? No, wasn't me. By the third time they came around, Peter is cussing them out. 20 years later, when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, Wait a minute. What? No. It wasn't 20 years. It wasn't 10 years later. It wasn't 5 years later. It wasn't even a year later. 50 days later, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit fell, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was such a change in this man whose emotions were up and down, and his tongue was longer than his leg, and his attitude was bigger than the city. Come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Unstable in all of his ways, and just an old fisher guy. And now all of a sudden something has happened after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we find that Peter and John are on their way to the temple like they do every day, and like every day they pass the same guy that has been carried to the temple and laid out at the temple gates because he was lame from birth, and they had passed him many, many times before. They were probably on first name basis with him, and he looked on them, and he was asking, he was a beggar begging for alms because of his condition, and the scripture scripture says on this day, Peter stopped and he said, look on us. I don't have silver and gold, but such as I do have, give I unto thee, rise up and walk. And listen, the question is, what is in us and are we in the habit of getting it out? Scripture says he grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up and said, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. And the Lord restored his legs, made his legs normal, and he jumped up and began to leap, walk and leap and praise God. Wow. What do we have on the inside of us? And are we giving it out? Now listen, I want y'all to understand that the story doesn't stop there. The story says that they got arrested. They got arrested and they got put in prison and they got badgered and they got threatened. And Peter, they said, don't you talk in that name anymore. Don't you preach in that name anymore. And this same guy that was weak-kneed, that had a limp backbone, just 50 days or so before he received the Holy Spirit, he was denying Jesus. He was cussing everybody out because they were saying, yes, you are. You're one of them. And now he's standing up and he's saying, is it better for me to obey you or to obey him? And he had a boldness on the inside of them to preach the good news. Do we have the presence and power of God living on the inside of us? We, the church, have become, listen, an organization rather than a movement. As the new friend of mine, the superintendent of Zambia, Africa, he recently preached a district council to about 2,000 Africans on dirt floors, guys. And he asked them, are we a monument or are we a movement? He said, I don't want to be a monument that remembers something of days gone by, but I want to be a movement. Church, it's time that we quit being an all-inclusive resort for the saints and we start being a seek and save, a movement of God in the earth, pushing back the darkness. Acts chapter 2 rolls around and it says this, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all. They, how many? How many's all? Everybody. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Everybody was filled. Listen, you can sit there and go, well, you know what, Pastor? Listen, it was the beginning of the church, you see, and Jesus needed to spread the gospel like wildfire. So, you know, since it was the beginning of the church, he filled everybody with the Holy Spirit. Hey guys, hello. That was the beginning of the church age. But I want you to understand we're at the end of the church age. And the hour is darker than it's ever been and later than it's ever been. And if they needed it then, I can guarantee you that we need it today more than ever. We need the infilling of the person of the Holy Spirit to be endued with power from on high. Watch this, verse 17. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters, there's that word all again. And your sons and your daughters shall be drug addicts and play Fortnite all night, air night. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Come on now. You shall receive power. So here's a question you hear a lot. Is it for me? Wrong question. He ain't a it. Is it for me? He ain't a it. He is a him. He's third person of the Godhead that the Father promised that would come and accompany us and not just be on us, but be in us. Is this for me? See, hear my heart. Most of you, now some of you, this may be your first day. Woo-hoo. Most of you know, you knew that this was a Pentecostal church when you drove up here today on your own free will. So that means, see, listen, there are hundreds of names on that wall over there that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. But there are many times fewer that have pushed on into the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the truth of the matter is, you have made up your mind. Watch. Well, I believe in it. Or maybe you say, I believe he's real. I believe that's real. And you like to sit in a service where the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because it makes you feel good. I believe. Just not so sure it's for me. Let me ask you this question. Scripture says this, the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. He said that he is with you, but he shall be in you, right? And then it says he will teach you. And it says he will lead or guide you. And he will empower you. What about that do you not want? That this is not a trick question. What is it? And oftentimes there are hindrances to receiving the Holy Spirit in his fullness. And we'll get to those in just a minute, but I want to stick, can you back up and show those four again? I want to get this to you. I want you to understand that I was the cucumber that became a pickle. I want you to understand that I finally came to the place that I was desperate for God. I was desperate for change. I had tried all my life to be good or to be good enough, and I could not. And I want you to understand that because of the working of the Holy Spirit, I became a pickle. I was born again. I received a new heart. I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. All right? But here's what I want you to know. I begin to read my Bible. I begin to practice prayer. I was changed. I wasn't hanging out with my drug buddies anymore. I wasn't getting high anymore. I wasn't cheating on my wife anymore. You understand, there was a definite change in me, but I want you to understand that my word life and my prayer life was about that deep. But one day, I became so hungry, and I want you to understand that I'd grown up in a Pentecostal church. Just because I grew up in a Pentecostal church, that didn't mean nothing. I was lost as a goose in a snowstorm. Didn't make me saved. I was lost could be. I grew up in that Pentecostal church, and I scared to death of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I scared to death of the person of the Holy Spirit. The Father's not going to give us anything that would harm us. Every gift that comes from the Father is good. Right? And so I want you to understand that I wrestled and wrestled and wrestled to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the deeper of, the more of God. I wrestled with receiving the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One day I got to the end of myself in all of my work and my effort trying to get God to give me the Holy Spirit. Now, hang on. I need you to grasp this. That is wrong, bad theology. It is called the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's not gonna give it. He said, and this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, which was not yet given. On the day of Pentecost, he was poured out on the earth. He has been given to us. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. If I don't go away, I can't send the other to you. He said, but when I go away, I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send you another just like me, and he's going to walk with you, and he's been on you, but now he's going to be in you. Fullness, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I became so hungry. I knew there was more. I knew there was something different or deeper. I knew that I had not arrived because I had said the sinner's prayer. I knew that something had changed. I knew when I got up from that altar that I was different, that the hate was gone. There was a conscience on the inside of me, right? A love for God. I knew something was different. But I knew that there was something more than what I had. I want you to know, I tried to talk God into giving me the Holy Spirit. But the person of the Holy Spirit is a gift to the believer that has already been given. We be praying, oh Lord, give me the Holy Spirit, give me the Holy Spirit. He's like, what do you want me to do? He's already done everything he needs to do. We need to pray correctly, and the correct way is we receive. Lord, help me receive the gift you've already given. Come on now. And so I wrestled and I fought and I was scared and I was prideful. Man, I pride has always been one of the five things that one of the roots of sin in my family tree, and man, what we looked like and what people thought of us and how tough we were and how, you know, this or that or the other that we were. It was that deep and rooted thing. And man, I didn't want anybody thinking I was weird. What do you think they think about you now? Let's take a survey. Just go ahead and put out a survey that somebody don't have to sign. And figure out what people will be thinking about you right now. That attitude. That mouth. Come on now. Y'all know I'm talking truth. But we always worried about what somebody going to be thinking about us. And the fact of the matter is, I remember I was just so hungry for God. And I began to go after God. And I began to seek God with all my heart, my soul, my mind. And I remember, I was just frustrated. I was crying out to God. And I was trying to get God. I didn't know if I was good enough to have the Holy Spirit. I didn't think I was good enough to have the Holy Spirit. And I didn't want people to think I was weird. And all these kind of things. And all of a sudden, one day, I came to the end of myself. And I told the Lord, Lord, if you don't baptize me in the Holy Spirit, I think I'm going to die. I've got to be filled or else. And I want you to know that day, driving down the road in my pickup truck, my Chevrolet 71 pickup truck, I was driving down the road. And everybody around me probably thought I'd done lost my mind because I was having a Holy Ghost fit in my truck. Y'all, put a period right there. I got to tell y'all something I did this week. Sister Vanessa is just an amazing person. And she leads a homeschool co-op here on Wednesdays. And the place is just filled with children and their parents from all walks of life and all walks of faith. Well, they're usually gone by 12 or 12:30. And I came into the church. And after some morning meetings, and I went to my office. And I'm preparing and praying over this service. And I'm praying for a Holy Ghost empowered service, y'all. I'm in my office. And y'all, I'm telling you, when I'm praying at the top of my lungs, I'm praying the paint off the wall. I remember even one time I walked up to that door right there and I wrapped my hands around that sliding door and I was just wailing in the Holy Spirit, praying for a move of God. And all of a sudden, when I got through praying, I opened that door and there are kids in the worship center looking at me. I think they thought I had lost my mind. Later, I apologized to Sister Vanessa. She said, "Oh, that's all right." She said, "My little Catholic friend said she never heard anybody pray like that before." I digress. How did Listen, is this for me? The scripture says that he would pour out his spirit on our sons and on our daughters, as many as the Lord our God should call, from generation to generation to generation. He's pouring out his spirit on us and on our sons and daughters. And watch this. Paul writes this in Acts chapter 19. He says, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus and there found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Listen, it was unthinkable. It was unthinkable to Paul and to the apostles that one would be changed from a cucumber to a pickle and not press on in to the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm tell you this. I've got a couple of things, but I want you to get this. The rest of the story, they went to the temple. Silver and gold, we don't have any, but such as we have, we give unto thee. The man is healed. They're arrested. They're threatened. And when they're released, it's not fair. Things are so dark. Things are just so bad. Y'all, things really are dark. Things really are bad. I was here this week and sirens went off steady, one right after another, right after another, right after another, right after another. And the police had to call the police into North Forney because of a massive fight that broke out. What we didn't hear is that there were two coaches that got beat up in Old Forney High School this week. Things are dark. Things are bad. What are we going to do about it? When Peter and John were released from custody, they got out, they bailed out, and they went and had a pity party. They went back to the church and they had a prayer meeting. And they said, Lord God, stretch out your hand by your mighty child Jesus and grant with boldness that we might speak in this glorious name of Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken and the Holy Spirit fell. And God granted, and they left that place and with boldness they began to preach the gospel, and 5,000 were won to Jesus Christ. 5,000 that might have been resistant, 5,000 that had questions, 5,000 that were broken, 5,000 that were in darkness. But that same Peter that 50 days prior was cussing, wait, he was in custody, and with boldness he said, who are we going to believe, or who are we going to obey, them or you? And you know what the scripture says? It said they took knowledge that these were common and unlearned men, but they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Look in the whites of my eyes. Devil been telling you, I'm not sure I'm qualified. Come on now. Common, unlearned, uneducated, didn't go to seminary or cemetery, either one. Common, unlearned, uneducated, previously, noodle for a spine, big mouth, long tongue, cussing, emotional. Come on now. But when God poured out His Holy Spirit, it was more about the work that God was going to do than the one that He was going to use to do it, my friend. He poured out His Holy Spirit, and on this day, a man stood up who 50 days earlier was like that, but today, he was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. For you shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and we are the problem. We are the difference makers. We are the salt. We are the light. We are the utensils that God wants to pour out His Spirit and use us in this community, in our houses, in our neighborhoods, in our city to push back the darkness. Real quickly, the things He's going to use. He can use fear. He can use pride. He can use unrepented sin. Come on. Our love of the world more than our love of the Father. If we're still holding on to what's back here, would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Listen. Three things today. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, today's your day. The Holy Spirit's here to draw you to the Father, to draw you to the cross of Calvary. Second, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling, the fullness of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, listen to me. Quit getting hung up on the tongues. You buy a pair of shoes, the tongues come with it. Just stop it. See, it's that big mouth with that long tongue he need to get a hold of. Come on, Jesus, that's good. I didn't say that in the first one, but that's good. That's a whole sermon right there. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, or number three, there are those that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you keep him in a nice, tidy little box. And you're not walking in the fullness. You know, it's kind of like somebody going by a brand new car and they drive it off the lot. And a week later, they run out of gas and they go, "What's the problem? It's a brand new car." We are ever being filled. Ever being filled. Ever being filled. And walking with and in the person of the Holy Spirit that has, listen, I'm talking a surrender where he's walking with us every day. The person, not it, the person of the Holy Spirit leading us, guiding us, teaching us, taking us deeper. Sometimes we get busy about our life. We kind of push him to the side until we need something. Come on now. And I don't know about you, but I want more. I want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. One more time, how many would say, "I want more"? Come on. I want more. I want more. I want more. All over the house. If one of those three categories fit you, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Or I've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Or You know what? I want him to give me a fresh touch. I want him to fill me to overflowing. To fill me. You know, oftentimes when I see in the scripture something supernatural happen, it says, and Stephen being full of the Holy Ghost. Come on now. You shall receive power. We're going to push back the darkness. We're going to have the power. If we're going to fight the dominions of darkness that's trying to be set up, we're going to have to be full of the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you all over the building, if you fit any three of those categories, I don't want to beg you. I just want you to get out of your seat right now. If you say, I want more, I want you to come right now. Come on, come on, come on. Any three of those things, you slipped your hand up, I want you to get out of your seat and just come. Come on, come on, listen. Don't say, God, can I have the Holy Spirit? Say, God, help me receive the gift you've already given. Help me receive the gift. God, give me a fresh and filling, but help me receive. Help me receive the gift. Help me be a receiver. Come on, he's going to fill you today. Come on, you're going to receive. I want the entire church, I want you to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. I want you to open your mouth. He's not going to fill you with locked jaw. He said, and they spoke, they spoke, they spoke as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. It's going to begin to rise up on the inside of you. You be obedient and speak it out by faith. Speak it out by faith in the name of Jesus right now. Begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Come on. Come on right now. Receive. Receive the gift. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Open your mouth and receive. Come on, receive. If you need to forgive someone, forgive them right now. If you're holding on to something, let go of it right now. If there's pride involved, crucify the pride right now. Make up your mind, I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what the world thinks. Come on. Come on, go deeper. I need some of my altar workers to help me pray. Come on. Come on, go deeper. Come on. Let him fill you today. Let him fill you today.